Welcome to the Parenting in Uniform podcast. My name is Claudia. I became a mom after 16 years of active duty service. That's when I discovered the disparity in knowledge amongst our military leaders concerning service members who are pregnant, postpartum, breastfeeding, and just dealing with military life while balancing families at home. I hope this podcast helps to enlighten us all on parenting while serving our nation.
Hello, everyone. Today, we'll be speaking with Liz Koltz about postpartum depression. She runs the anxietyadult.com. She helps smart and overwhelmed adults manage the anxieties of business and life. So welcome, Liz.
Hi there, Claudia. Thanks for having me.
So you have a very personal story when it comes to postpartum depression. But before we get into that, just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Sure. Yeah. So I've recently moved from New York to North Carolina. And with that big relocation of me and my family, I decided to follow one of my passions, which is I've always wanted to start my own business. So I worked in state government for 15 years. And with that big change, I decided to open the Anxious Adult, which is mirrors my own experiences that I was always striving for, you know, to be a leader, have a successful career, but I also suffered from bouts of depression and anxiety. And I don't think that the two have to be mutually exclusive, that I think that people can both, you know, manage a mental illness and also have a successful career. You don't have to like shy down from meeting your goals just because you are living with, you know, depression or anxiety, that you can manage both. If you want to, you know. And I am originally from Albany, New York, and I am married and I have two kids who are 8 and 10 right now.
Okay. Can you tell us what postpartum depression is?
Sure. It is a clinical medical diagnosis, but it is after a woman has a baby, it's where she is depressed. So she starts, you know, showing symptoms of depression. Personally, with me, I didn't know that I had postpartum depression for quite a long time. I didn't actually even admit to myself or admit to anyone until I was pregnant with my second child. For me, I was sleeping all the time. I remember there were times where I would come home from work and I would be exhausted and like fall asleep before like 6-7 o'clock at night. I was just sad. I didn't have any interest in anything. I didn't have any interest in my kids. I didn't have any interest in, you know, things that I used to like. And I was also a piece of my experience with postpartum depression that was so scary for me was that I was having what's called intrusive thoughts. So and this is probably more part of postpartum anxiety, but I would have these thoughts that I would hurt my kids or that or do like scary things. And I was constantly terrified that I wouldn't be able to control those thoughts, that they would eventually, just instead of just being a scary thought that I would have, that they would turn into me not being able to control my actions. And that just absolutely terrified me. So it's very similar to depression, but it happens in the postpartum, you know, period of a woman's life.
So I just wanted to refer to some of the common signs of postpartum depression. In the military, we have a wonderful resource called the MilitaryOneSource.mil. They list 9 symptoms that may indicate when it's time to seek some help. So one is exaggerated mood swings, constant fatigue or exhaustion, loss of appetite or overeating, confusion or difficulty concentrating, feeling overwhelmed or helpless, low self-esteem, and feelings of guilt, lack of interest or resentment towards the baby, anxiety or panic attacks, fear of harming yourself or your baby. And you just discussed that last one, the intrusive thoughts. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's terrifying. And if anybody at any point has any of these and you know that this is kind of something that's been going on for a while, Military One Source has the Military Crisis Line. It's open 24 hours a day. And the number is 1-800-273-8255. So again, 1-800-273-8255. And then you can press 1. And they also have, if you go on the website, they also have an online chat, or you can text as well. And texting is, the number is 838-255. Again, text is 838-255. And also Military One Source has the New Parent Support Program, which is another fantastic resource. So that's for all of the services. So sorry, Liz, I just wanted to kind of put all that out there.
No, that's awesome. I'm so glad. I mean, I don't know. I don't have anyone in the military in my family, so I don't know the resources that are available. So I'm glad to hear that. That is amazing that there are those resources available.
So what? How did you finally realize that you were suffering from postpartum depression and that it was time to do something about it?
So the turning point for me is I was pregnant with my second daughter. I think I was about 5 or 6 months pregnant. So my older daughter was about 15 months old and I was giving her a bath. So all up along, since the day that I had my first daughter, I was always like, oh, what do we do ourselves? And I just didn't have any of that love of being a mom. And I felt like I hated every second of it. And so instead of saying anything, I thought I was the monster because, what you see is that people just are, naturally take to being a mom or that they love it and they love every aspect of it. And that, I don't think we talk about how hard it is to be a mom very often. So I was giving my daughter a bath one night before bed and I had an overwhelming urge to, put her under the water. And it was so scary to me, obviously, that I knew I had to say something. I didn't quite know what was wrong with me. I just knew that something was wrong. And so I, finished the bath, put my daughter to bed, and then I went and talked to my husband. He'd been working in the other room and I just cried. And then told him what had happened and I told him that something was wrong. And so from there we went, I went to my OBGYN to explain what had happened. And then they referred me to my primary care and my primary care eventually referred me to go see a therapist. And after a couple of weeks of therapy, I started taking meds. So it was this whole thing. Yeah, it was something that I didn't admit to myself that something was wrong because I was so ashamed of what I was experiencing and the things I was thinking and feeling because it didn't mesh with what I thought motherhood should be. So I either didn't admit to myself, didn't want to admit to anyone else that I was having these problems.
That is so scary. Oh my goodness. So first of all, I just wanted to say that having a baby is probably the absolute most stressful event in most people's lives, mother or father, anyway.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, and it's not always an exciting event. I think for so many people, society tells us that we're supposed to be super happy and pumped about it. And it's the best thing that ever happened. And it's a major tick off the bucket list of life events you're supposed to be doing, so it's stressful. And again, it's not just the moms, dads go through it as well. And I think just thinking of different stressors that come with becoming a new parent is maybe even if you have siblings, other kids involved and assimilating them into, this new child's life, the financial stress that comes with it, balancing work as well. And, responsibilities at work. And even if you're a mom, how do you even get back to work? And you get the whole mom guilt thing playing when you have to deal with the childcare and everything. And that loss of independence and autonomy too.
Absolutely. I think that was one of the bigger things for me that I wasn't prepared for was the loss of autonomy. I just wanted to, if I wanted to go to Target, it was a 2-hour event because I had to make sure that the baby was fed, but also that fed just before we went out the door and that the diaper bag was packed and would there be a nap? You had to plan out this whole thing and everything was dependent on someone else. And I think that was one of the things I just wasn't really prepared. You get it. You have to take care of a child, but I think that there's just not, until you experience it, you don't realize how it is all consuming. And, I think you're absolutely right that society doesn't necessarily prepare us for how hard it is, with all the aspects. I know financially, because I went back to work 6 and 8 weeks after both my children were born. And, financially, having two kids in daycare, it was more than our mortgage and our taxes and everything. And, that is a significant stressor on, anybody's life.
That's enough to cause depression on anyone sometimes.
Right,
goodness.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I also want to note, I mean, it doesn't mean because you suffered these symptoms, it doesn't mean that you loved your child any less than someone who doesn't.
Either. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that so like it was this weird, like, because I was feeling this way, I felt really guilty because I did love them so much. And I think that it was ultimately like, you know, I think the love that like it would force me to get help and do it. This is not okay. Like this is, it's not okay. I don't want to feel this way. You know, I do love them. And like, it took, you know, I would have periods where like, I would hate to be alone with my kids, like that it would just be a little scary for when I was having the intrusive thoughts, but also just exhausting and all this stuff. And like, I just never wanted to be around them. So I couldn't. So that was like, you know, you feel guilty for that as well. You do love them so, so much. And I, you know, it's like obvious and evident now, like, you know, they're not babies anymore. They're turning into, you know, tweens and teenagers, and, you know, how much I did love them. I love them so much, more than anything I could even understand or fathom. And, but it's hard to know that, I think, in the moment, like when you are depressed and you're suffering, you don't know, like you can't even like just reconcile that you do love them. That you're, because I felt like I was just this monster. That is how I would describe myself. All that is, or is a, I was a monster for the way I was feeling, and you know, and so yeah. But I did and still do love them.
Right. So you did mention that you're fortunate enough to have your husband there to turn to mm-hmm. when you needed to. Right away, you just removed yourself from what could have potentially been a very dangerous situation. But a lot of our listeners are single moms. What should mm-hmm. they do? Who can they go to?
I have always been very fortunate that I have had both my husband and a very supportive family that lived with, you know, in the same area as me. So if you do not have like a spouse who is with you or a partner, go, who is your support system? Is it your, you know, is it family? Is it friends? Is there, you know, like you had mentioned earlier, Claudia, with there, is there, you know, something associated with your work or with military that can support you, but you need to seek help. So friends, family, medical professional, you know, anybody in your life. I think that's important to step outside of yourself, that the reaching out, this asking for help is the, one of the hardest things to do, but just naming it, putting words to it, getting outside of your head and outside of yourself is one of the turning points in getting better, is letting somebody else know what's going on.
And you mentioned, you know, you told your OB and then it was kind of a process before you actually started receiving care. How many days was it from when you went to your husband, told him what you were feeling, to when you were finally able to speak to someone professionally about it?
I think it was actually weeks. It wasn't, and I think like my, it was, which is odd to me now that my OB didn't seem to know what to do with me, with what I was experiencing, because I would think that an OB would have, you know, encountered this many times. But yeah, it was weeks before I, because I had to then make an appointment with my primary care, which being pregnant, you know, they usually can get you in quickly. Then from there, like I was literally handed a sheet of therapists in the area that took my insurance. And I just had to pick one and call and make an appointment and get, you know, seen by the therapist who was available. And, you know, fortunately, my mom is a social worker, was a social worker at the time. So she's like, oh, she's like, this place, you know, has better, you know, a better, you know, reputation than this one, you know, so I could at least narrow it down without having to go through, like, you know, because I meshed with my therapist right away, which was, or not right away, but like it worked. A lot of times you don't always mesh with the therapist right away. So you have to then go to another one and then go to another one until, you know, it works. So it was a while that until I was able to get an appointment. And, you know, I think that unfortunately can be the norm.
I think it's important that you mention meshing with your therapist too, because I think a lot of people tend to quit really quickly, think, oh, mm-hmm. it's just not working. And sometimes it is that interpersonal relationship going on that right. really and needs to click.
Right, exactly. And like I saw her for a while, and then I want to say well over a year, I ended up having, you know, I was having depression, anxiety issues a couple of years later, and I went back to see her and we just didn't mesh anymore, or it wasn't the right like style or whatever. So I ended up finding a different therapist. So I think that was both eye-opening for me that, you know, the therapist and you meshing has to do with like the right time in your life too. You know, I think that it's just their style or what you need at the time, whether it it fits or not.
Right. And then in the military, you have to kind of go through behavioral health is what we call it. So I know somebody had recently posted on the Army Mom Life Facebook page something that I wanted to just share. It was an anonymous post, and it was about a soldier who realized she's suffering from postpartum depression. And she had been going through some stuff for a little while, and she had finally made an appointment with behavioral health. And she told her NCO, which is her supervisor, and she thought, you know, he was going to be super supportive. I'm sure she probably wasn't coming to work her top self that she was before having the baby, and just assumed he would be excited that, you know, she was going to make some improvements in her life. But instead he said, essentially, suck it up. All new moms go through this. I mean, I just want to put this out there that it's not true. Not all new moms. There's a difference between, you know, some unhappiness, baby blues, and postpartum depression, like you said, being a medically diagnosed clinical depression. And that's big difference right there. And so I just wanted to kind of go over a little bit of the difference between baby blues and what postpartum depression is. And again, this is from militaryonesource.mil. The baby blues symptoms essentially are diminish within a matter of weeks or just a couple of months. And they can also start a few months after birth, but they don't tend to last very long. Whereas postpartum depression is a disrupting ability to function. So it interrupts your ability to do daily responsibilities. Did you experience that yourself, Liz?
Yes, I did. I wouldn't clean up. I wouldn't want to, but it was also funny that I always wanted to do the dishes because I felt like it was just one thing that if I was doing the dishes, I couldn't take care of the kids. So it was like my thing, like this gets me out of parenting, but I'm also contributing to the household somehow right now. So yeah, there was definitely a disruption in just normal life. Nobody wants to do chores, but you know what I mean? But I just didn't care to straighten up or clean up or, you know, take care of myself. Or I just didn't care. And as far as at work, I couldn't wait to get back to work. That was, I didn't want to be home with the baby. I couldn't wait to just, you know, use my brain. I was a project manager and an analyst, and I'm doing that type of work. And I just wanted to get back to work. And, you know, so I didn't, you know, and I didn't tell anybody that I was suffering because I didn't realize that when my first daughter was born, you know, but I remember feeling like I was lying to everybody when they would say oh, aren't you just heartbroken to be back? Or yeah, I wish I was home with the baby, you know, or don't you just love being a mom? And just knowing that I was, you know, just lying with this big smile, oh, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me in the world. And eventually I had to, when I started therapy and everything, I didn't have to tell my supervisor then because it wasn't, you know, there wasn't a danger, but I ended up had postpartum depression that was undiagnosed through after my first daughter was born. And then I was, January I started taking meds, and my second daughter was born in March. So I went into that birth with okay, I'm not going to breastfeed because that is just an added stressor. I'm going to do formula, and I'm on therapy, or I'm going to therapy. I'm on meds. I was very, with all the doctors and everything, I had postpartum depression. This is what it is. I was very prepared. Everybody knew in my family. So going into the birth of my second daughter, we're prepared. But I ended up being hospitalized in the psych ward in June that year after my second daughter was born for postpartum psychosis. I was having very intrusive thoughts again about harming daughter. I had started hearing voices. So even though I went in prepared, it didn't prevent it.
Wow, that's horrible. So yeah, what is scary. A psychosis? What's the difference?
So the psychosis it's more of a where you start to lose a grip with reality. Because I had an appointment with my therapist, going through. So, and I had also been on medication for depression. I'd been on Prozac. And I had told my therapist how I was starting to have intrusive thoughts again. And she's like, well, did you call? I had a psychiatrist who was managing the meds. And I was like, no, I don't want to increase my meds again because every time, you know, so I was starting to make really dangerous decisions based on, you know, because I was trying to hide my intrusive thoughts that were, you know, very scary about harming my kids. And then I would also like, I would just hear voices, not anything like saying anything, but I would hear, you know, so there were all these things combined. But it was when I was in that therapy appointment that she's like, something, you know, this is not right. You're hiding, you're making, you know, not sound decisions. And she had asked if, you know, she's like, I think that you should, you know, go be evaluated at the hospital. And, you know, and I said, you know, said yes, because I was like, this is a medical professional who is, you know, suggesting that I am not well. And I ended up staying for 5 days at the psych ward. And, you know, the diagnosis from that was that it was postpartum psychosis.
And did you feel better when you got out? Was it helpful?
It was, because it was like, I had to shut everything down. Like, it was like, so I was back at work, and I had to, so, you know, in the afternoon I had this therapy appointment that I didn't go back to work for 5 days. And like, so I had to just shut everything down. Like, I wasn't responsible. I couldn't, it's like they took all the extra stressors away from you, you know, so to speak, because, you know, they still existed, but like, I was pulled out of that situation. So it was a mix of, you know, helpful, because it took me out of that, but it also, and like, snaps you of like, okay, you know, this is extreme. You know, this is how extreme this is, that you are, you know, in a psych ward, which was also very unnerving. It was, you know, scary in itself, you know, treated very well, but it was just, it's something the guy had never, ever experienced before. So it was a mix of it. You know, it did absolutely help, but it was a very jarring experience.
I'm sure it was. Yeah. And how long did you have to stay on meds, you know, after your second child?
I still am on meds. I don't know whether this is everybody's, you know, situation with mental illness is different. I, looking back on my entire life and my family history, I think that, you know, depression and anxiety are, you know, has always been through my life. So I feel like I've always suffered from both, you know, anxiety definitely, and then bouts of depression. So anytime I have tried to either come off my meds, or it never worked. It never was like if I would start to have depression symptoms again. So for me, I am staying on my meds. I'm going to stay on them for forever. That was a hard thing to reconcile as well, because I wanted to be like, oh, pills, fine, you know, I'm feeling better, let's just end this. But for me, like, you know, I had to continue taking it. So I, you know, now it's been 8-9 years, and, you know, I fully accept that I'm on meds every day for that. But it was a hard adjustment in the beginning, that, you know, A, I had to take meds to get better, B, that I had to then stay on them for a very long time, possibly indefinitely.
And do your children now know, or are they still too young to even know that you suffered?
They know in bits. Like, I'm very open now with dealing with depression, anxiety, especially anxiety, because my one daughter also, you know, very clear, she suffers from it. You know, we've already started having her, you know, in therapy and having different ways of dealing with it, which to me, it's like, I'm grateful I went through what I did so that I can recognize the symptoms in her and get her treatment now, instead of being 20, at 7, she is, you know, can fully articulate that she's feeling anxious and has tools to use it, instead of at like 27, like I was, and not even knowing what was going on. So we're very open with it. They don't know the extent of what happened, and and they're too young to understand that, because I wouldn't want them to internalize it in any way, but mm-hmm. They know that, you know, I speak a lot about my experience with depression and anxiety, and I had done a show, a nonprofit called This Is My Brave, and there's the Sarah Bareilles on the Brave song. And so that was, and they were younger when I did it, but they was like, mommy, it's your Brave song. You know, so they know that that is the thing, but they've never like watched my speech about it or anything like that, because it is.
Tell us about your speech, because it's on YouTube, and I will absolutely put a link to it in the show notes.
But it's, yeah, so I had gone to, so part of me like turning a point with getting better was recognizing that other people were out there just like me, that I wasn't alone in all of this. And I had, you know, just other people on, you know, on social media. And I had also found out, like, I'd found an organization called Postpartum Progress. And I was like, wow, there are other moms like just like me. And after, you know, I had gone to, they had a Warrior Mom Conference is what it was called. It was for women who had suffered from postpartum depression, anxiety. And like, we just, And so after that, I had seen a call for auditions for This Is My Brave, which This Is My Brave is a organization that aims to reduce the stigma around mental illness and seeking treatment by having people who have either lived it themselves or their loved ones through storytelling and poetry and music. And they called a call for auditions in New York City, and I was in Albany, so it's about 3 hours away. You know, I saw like the post on social media, and I immediately made an appointment for an audition, and I didn't have anything written, and I wrote, you know, a piece, an essay, I guess, about my experience with postpartum depression. I went down to New York City, I auditioned, all these things, and, you know, and then I was selected for the show. So I got to do, you know, in front of an audience, you know, very, very openly, you know, talk about my experience.
And it's actually a pretty short piece too. You essentially just kind of talk about a day in your life suffering through postpartum depression.
Yes, the time limit, you know, was 5 minutes for whatever piece, because they have a show of like, you know, 13, you know, to 15 people or whatever. So yeah, so I just picked a snippet, and I think, yeah, it's called Random Day is the essay that I put together. And it was just going through what a random day would be like, you know, whether that it's, you know, getting up in the morning, going to work, coming home, you know, all that, but all that was going on in my head. A lot, you know, how I was feeling in my head when I was really suffering. And the part that was important to me is also that when I was writing it, I was better. And that so that there was, so I did think it was random days. 2013 is the beginning of it. And then 2015 is the end. And, you know, that I was happy, that I was, you know, happy to be around my kids, that I did get through what I was going through. And that's the important part for me, because I think that when you are suffering and you're in the thick of it, you don't always know that there's going to be an end, that you can get out of it, that it can get better. And I think that that is something that people need to know, you know, if they are suffering, you can get better, you know, so reach out and ask for help.
There is support and help out there, even if it feels like no one cares and no one's around to assist.
Exactly. It's out there. Mm-hmm. It's out there. You can get better.
So, you know, we always hear about the importance of self-care, you know, whether that's eating better, exercising, sleeping, all of that, or when you're a new mom, getting a shower. How do you think that would have played in you've mentioned that you were able to recover a little because you were, when you were in the hospital, because you didn't have the stress of work anymore. Do you think if you didn't have to work and if you were able to have a little bit more time to yourself postpartum, would self-care have helped you?
I think a piece of it, I think it's multifaceted a lot. Like, I think that if I knew what I needed and asked for it, you know, B, like if I didn't feel like, you know, I went back to work 6 to 8 weeks, part of me wanted to, but I also had to financially. There was no way that, you know, we could survive on just one income. So if there wasn't that financial need to go back to work, then, you know, that absolutely, like, you know, because then you would have time to, you're not adding in all these extra things. So like, so yeah, I have a 6 week old baby and now I have to get her to daycare and then I have to go to work for 8 hours and then I have to come home and pick up the child from daycare. You know, you have to, it adds in all these complexities of things. And I think that, you know, the have to go to work thing is what I think is, it just adds the layer, because it's both financial, it's, you know, and then it adds all these layers to it. And, you know, I think we see that in so many other countries that, you know, maternity leave is, you know, funded by the government and is like a year, and where here, you know, in the United States anyway, it's like, oh, well, you get 6 weeks, you know, because it's a physical disability that you had a child, like that it's, you know, it's the recovery period physically, medically. There's so much more that goes into that recovering health, from having a baby.
The mental health piece to it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right.
Because it's a huge change in your life. You know what I mean? Like it absolutely is, you know, even if you don't have postpartum depression or anything like that, it is a huge adjustment.
Absolutely. Like I said, it's one of the greatest stressors anyone will ever experience.
Absolutely.
Yes. Having to bring a new human into the world and then raising them. Mm-hmm. So I have a question. Why do you think there is so much stigma behind postpartum depression? Why do people hide it?
I think it's because it's portrayed in society that you will just be happy after you have a baby. And so when you don't do thing, when you're experiencing something that isn't the norm, you are ashamed. I think, you know, so I think that that prevents people from seeking care because they're ashamed. And I just think that I think it's gotten better. The stigma around seeking care for mental illness in, you know, and even in the last 8 to 10 years, for so long, it's been, you know, a shameful thing. It's been portrayed that way, or it's been portrayed as jokes or as negative, as that you can't also have a, you know, functioning life. And so I think that I think there's also like a fear that, you know, the unknown, like if I admit that I have a problem, am I going to take my kids away? Like, am I going to, you know, fear of the unknown of what would happen if you even admitted you needed help.
So true. There is that fear of the unknown of what the repercussions could be as well. And just what people think of you.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention for our audience?
I would just like to say that if you feel that you are suffering from postpartum depression or anxiety in any way, seek help. You are 100% not alone at all. There are so many moms and parents that are experiencing, even just if it's not postpartum depression and anxiety, if it's just the hardship of parenting and especially a newborn, you are not alone. It is the most, you know, difficult and wonderful thing that you will go through in your life. And just seek help. Be gentle with yourself and seek help. Ask, reach out. You know, it will get better.
And I know when I was going to the pediatrician when my son was just, you know, weeks old, and then the first few months postpartum, I would have to fill out a questionnaire for the pediatrician that asked about my mental health, essentially. Mm-hmm. Be honest. And, you know,
yes.
And
yes.
Don't kid yourself and get that help, because ultimately it's for the well-being of your own child.
Yes. If you think that you can't admit it for yourself, that, you know what I mean? So like, think of it that way, that, you know, it is better for your child that you are healthy.
And if anyone wants to work with you through theanxiousadult.com, tell us a little bit more about what it is that you do.
Sure. Yeah. So if anybody wanted to reach out, you can email me at liz@theanxiousadult.com or, you know, through Facebook or social media. So I work with businesses to help them manage the stressors and anxiety of running a business. So I'm really focused on, I love like systems and processes, because I think that if you can systematize or put processes in place, it removes that like hair on fire type reaction to work and how you're running your business. And also in life, so I am not a therapist or anything like that, but I, you know, work with you to identify where you can reduce stressors in your life and how you can prioritize what's actually really important to you and what you want to work on, instead of just what you think you need to work on or what you think you need to, you know, problems you need to address, things like that.
Thank you so much, Liz. Really appreciate you sharing such a personal story with us today.
And thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts and share it with someone who can benefit from this information. You can also follow the Parenting in Uniform Facebook page to stay up to date on the latest news related to military parents and families. Thank you for listening.
This podcast has no affiliation with the Department of Defense, nor any of the military units or organizations mentioned. This podcast is for information only. Statements and views made by guests are not necessarily those of the host, and no statements should be construed as fact or medical advice.